pay attention sometimes.
AJ Dillon is saving my fantasy team. I drafted him and I knew this moment was coming because they're going to get rid of Aaron Jones. They're going to trade him and Devontae Adams, trade him and Aaron Rodgers. Because you can't keep that many contracts on your team. Are we actually live right now?
Yes,
bro.
You're paying attention.
I've been live the whole time, and nobody said nothing to me.
You thought I was just playing the music for show?
I thought you were fucking around. You out here dressing like you barely missed the cut for Squid. What's that shit? Squid.
Squid Games.
Squid Game Season 2. You showed him in the wrong color tracksuit. Looking like Khabib. Woo! What's the little boy's name? Because that kid is hilarious.
What's up, people? Live from the Good News Studio in Manchester, California? Is that what we're calling
Westchester.
It? Westchester. Westchester. In Westchester, California. It's Touchdowns and Tangents.
The back
your Thursday
half
night
LAX.
Spot for NFL takes and topical tangents. To my right, as always, the pettiest dude in the room, Kenneth Frank James Berry. What's up?
I mean, God is good. And all the time, you know, God is good.
Kenny was definitely that dude who couldn't sit next to his friends in class because he are all distracted.
I just look at the teacher like, I'm going to sit everywhere because you know I can talk to anybody. And if you sit me next to the quiet chick, I'm going to get her number. So you can't risk that.
And then
if you can't risk me coming up and becoming a force in the classroom like that because then I'm going to be cupcaking with my girl in the back. So you pretty much
never had no girl in high school.
I didn't, but it's one chick.
Your
it's
shit
one
was
chick
a
salt away.
Sea. Your shit was
why
salt
are you
sea.
Living through like those
your
early
shit was
2000
sea,
no,
movies?
No, it was one chick. No, it was one chick who she got away, but that's because my teacher was hating. She's like, he's like, Kenny, stop massaging no girl in the back of the class. I was like, fuck, bro. I was
so familiar
type of childhood. Did
so
you
familiar
live?
Voice one and two. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
This is Alex Himes
the
from
troll.
Courtside Radio, crashing Touchdowns and Tangents once again,
infringing on it. Infringing on it, maybe?
Hey, yo, it's your neighborhood, you know, uncle,
Elam
Square, Eric Lampkins, here invading the studio with my guys from Touchdowns and Tangents.
Yeah, he did a fed knock on the door, and I was like, my brain reset. I was like,
flush the work, flush the work.
He grabbed the backpack.
I just grabbed my backpack instinctually, like, wait, there's nothing in here. Why did I do that?
Hey, so you had the best reel so far on the Good News Sports Channel.
Which one?
The one about the Chiefs defense.
Yes, indeed.
Unfortunately, it didn't age that well because now the Chiefs are figuring it out.
No, their defense is still pretty abysmal.
it's
their offense that is starting to finally click.
Well, I guess any defense looks good against the Raiders.
It's like anytime you play. It's like anytime you play the Knicks the past 10 years. You go to the Garden, somebody on your team drops 40 because that was just the Knicks for like the past 10 years. That's just the Raiders for like the past 15 years.
If, this is why we,
no,
things,
since
why we don't pay you for basketball.
Since
picks.
2003, bro. The team with the worst winning percentage is the Raiders. Since
and you know what's funny?
And the Knicks have been equally
what's
terrible.
What's funny is before that, they had the best winning percentage.
Yeah.
What goes up must come down.
All things are balanced. Damn.
One year terrible. Though for the Patriots. That's it.
Okay, terrible. We're not talking about the Patriots right now. First off,
oh, considering
we all
they just
they
won tonight,
they shut out the Falcons.
It must be hard to win a championship every 30 years.
It must be nice to just lose the best player in your franchise history, and then you just draft his clone.
Yeah, it astounds me because I had said coming into the season the Patriots are going to be way better than what they were looking like on paper and how people were grading them.
I told you 10 games.
I said 10 games as well. Like, they were going to be a 10-win team. And right now, I don't know what's clicked so much as I see that Mac Jones is getting a lot of freedom in the playbook. A lot of freedom now. He can air it out, and he actually is forming those connections with Hunter Henry and the likes of them, like Kendrick Bourne. And a lot of these receivers, even Aguilar tonight, looked decent, and that's something I never thought I would ever say.
Myers caught a touchdown last week, his first ever.
That's the most important thing,
too. That's a record, by the way. He had like 156
52.
Catches.
Was 150, it was 151 at one point, and then I think it was 155 or
156 before he caught a touchdown.
But is it the receivers as much as it is Josh McDaniels? I think in that scheme in that offensive system, you don't really need top tier wide receivers. You just need technicians. If you know how to create a modicum of separation, then you can excel. Because Kendrick Bourne was poo cheese paltry at best in San Francisco.
He was a good number 4 or 5.
That's what Belichick has done, though, through every season. I mean, think about the receivers Brady had. Like, the one outlier.
What?
The one outlier was Randy Moss, right? But if you think about him, guys that were
Deion
like...
Deion Branch.
Chris Hogan, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. Even I'll count Josh Gordon for Shea like
Caldwell?
Half a seat. Yeah, Caldwell.
Ocho.
For like 5 minutes.
Ocho was terrible in that system.
And you can count Tim Tebow as a tight end.
Ocho was a deep threat who could still be a deep threat playing in the wrong system.
Yep.
As a slot. So it wasn't going to work.
But think of those names, though. None of those are the star-studded receivers. These are guys, a lot of them, that were retooled. Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman, retooled players.
David Patton. Rest in peace. He's the one that died, right?
Yep.
Yeah, rest in peace.
These are all guys.
Why do
you
know
have to
so
think
much
about
the Patriots?
He died like three or four years ago.
This was 3 weeks ago.
This man's a wealth of Patriot knowledge.
This guy,
He's a Patriot.
The way that you are with your football knowledge is the way I feel about my NBA knowledge, and that's something I respect about you. Like, we can have a talk about any team, and you'll have the wild accusations, theories, like a literal tangent.
I can just talk about how Russell Wilson is going to leave, and he's going to leave. Let's be honest.
How many years does he have left at peak quarterback?
He's
Russell
four,
Wilson
four in the Three? Right system.
Let's see.
Imagine
if he
Russell
goes,
Falcons.
If he
elite.
No,
oh. elite.
No,
top
no,
five
four. No, if he went to the Falcons, he'd be done in a year.
Imagine what? Him on the Raiders.
The Raiders, I think, have
a
decent O line. The Raiders, the Raiders have a deep.
I wouldn't
look
go
at
that
who does who does who does Bro. Seattle have right now on offensive line?
They,
less
they
than the Raiders.
Yeah, you could put him in Indianapolis.
The dude from the Senior Bowl that we
I think if he goes to,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say if he goes to Indy
ball,
or if he goes to Pitt or even Pittsburgh. Green Bay.
Nah.
This is going to be a cascade of like comedies, like cascade of issues if we see Wilson go to Green Bay and then Aaron Rodgers go someplace else to be determined.
He has to save Wisconsin for the second time in his career? Mm. Yeah, college football, see? We know our stuff. But this is breakdown this Russell Wilson thing. Think about when he had nobodies at receiver. When they had to get Golden.
Most of his career.
Bro, Lockett is a problem. The Raiders passed on Lockett, and Lockett is a Pro Bowl receiver. And they passed on DK Metcalf, who, again, the Raiders passed on him. So don't give me PTSD right now with all the By the way, also, another dude, he plays on defense, Rasheem Green for the Seattle Seahawks. He would have been a top five pick had he stayed for his senior year, but he's also kind of balling for the Seahawks. He would have been a really good Raider too.
Only took him
He'd be
years.
Perfect for their scheme. Yeah, because he was young. Like he
it takes they, time for these guys to blossom sometimes.
Him in particular, he was like better than Leonard Williams. He had 10 sacks, bro. He was better. Go back and look at his last year at USC, bro. He was more dominant than Leonard Williams.
I've watched both
their They games. Were like this dude was running he's running a 4.7 almost a 4.6 and could play 3 technique. Like Leonard Williams ran like a 4.9.
Yeah, like, but Leonard Williams, he has better hands.
He has defensive tackle technique. He doesn't have edge rusher technique. Like, Rasheem Green.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a premier to be able to rush from the D tackle position than from the edge.
But you look at
more
that roster that Seattle has built. Russ, just like, look, just give me a defense I can compete and give me a chance and give me an offense where I have one guy who can be consistent, tight ends who can at least do their job, and a run game that can at least give me 4 yards of carry or 3.8.
So let me
and
ask
Russ
you guys
does
this.
Everything else. How many teams in the NFL literally have that? Miami would be extensively better if Russell was there. Houston would actually look like a playoff team if Russell was
there.
So
let me ask you guys this. If the Seahawks sneak into the playoffs,
they're not.
They're getting clapped.
If they do, let's
they might
just
upset
say,
the
or if they miss it by half a game,
okay.
Is Pete Carroll out?
Yes.
Is he done? Is the game passed him by?
I don't know if the game is passed him by. I think what Seattle needs to do is just rebuild, retool.
Mm-hmm.
Their identity for the past decade has been the Legion of Boom. And, you know, that cover 3 defense, they don't have the requisite pieces in the secondary to run that same type of scheme, right? I would like to see – I think they do have some pieces where they could play more man, like traditional man cover 2.
But I mean, they really haven't had those pieces since those pieces left.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been trying because to recapture
that. They've been trying to catch lightning in a bottle again. So I think if he's honest about like what he has, I would, and this is going to sound hella crazy, I would love to see like a 3-3-5 like really take hold in the NFL. And I think Pete is probably crazy enough to do it.
I mean, that's kind of what Cam Chancellor was.
No, he was a linebacker playing safety. Jamal Adams is, by the way, Vince Wilfork.
Jamal Adams is more.
He's so
weak
good.
Side. He's a no. He's not so good. He's pretty terrible. He's a weak side linebacker. He's a weak side linebacker. Like that's all he is a weak side linebacker.
So LaRon Landry, the one year he played with Sean Taylor.
So that was him benefiting from Sean Taylor?
Yeah.
Because what did LaRon Landry do after?
Not much.
Sean, okay.
Get super jacked up. Yeah. Like, super jacked up.
Yeah, he was on roids.
How you?
Shout out to Adam
Vitamin HGH.
Running a 4-3.
Shout out to Adam Archuleta.
Running a 4-3 flat. Already strong as shit. Had like 90 strength in Madden. It made no sense. I definitely always put him at linebacker in Madden. But like, you just look at what that defense is, when your starting safety has more sacks than all your edge rushers, and Bobby Wagner is the only thing holding that defense together, Rush should not come back. Like, it's just not smart for him to come back.
The only like silver lining that they have outside of Russ is DK and Tyler Lockett. Outside of that, they don't have it. Yeah. I wouldn't even say a receiving card because who's their number three?
I mean, that's true.
Freddie Swain when he wants to.
Yeah, you have two.
Luke Wilson when they bring him back for an 87
Luke Wilson
time.
Is terrible. He can't block. He can't catch. He's just a guy taking up space.
He's just a fast tight end.
Is he fast?
He ran like a 4.5, 4.4.
So
he doesn't play like that.
When you look at the when
he
you look
Derek
at the
carrier, but he runs a 4.4.
When you look at the totality of the Seattle Seahawks, there's really four pieces. Four cornerstones: Russ, Bobby Wagner, DK, and Tyler Lockett.
Adams
they don't have an offensive line. They don't have a defensive line.
Yeah.
They don't have a secondary. Their offensive coordinator is terrible. Like, what is there to really build, you know, around? Or yeah, what is there to build towards, and what is there to build around? So if I'm Russ, I'm out of there because I don't have an offensive line. Yeah. I don't have a running game, right?
Imagine Russ on the Niners. That's an automatic.
No, don't get my hopes up.
It can happen.
It's not
They'll
going
trade,
to happen.
They give up compensation. Gives a shit. I'll send fucking Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll send Lance to Seattle and Garoppolo to Houston.
Pete is not. He's not.
I'm
gift
a Raiders
wrapping.
Fan.
He's
but
not
I'm telling
gift
you,
wrapping.
It can happen.
He's not gift wrapping four consecutive Super
retired?
Bowls.
What if he's going to retire?
And
Seattle just says fucking fire.
What else? What else is that man gonna do?
Go back to USC.
No,
he's not going back.
He could go back to USC. He could make more money than he's making now. He can rebuild the USC brand overnight.
Bro.
He's not old. He was already old.
He's like 70.
How old is Bill Belichick?
I'll tell you what.
He's
I'll
a warlock. Time like
I will tell you what.
Because
I will give up a second round pick that the Raiders will probably fuck up anyways, and I will take Pete Carroll, one of the greatest fucking football coaches on the face of this earth, right now.
Pete is a great motivator, man.
You
don't need him to be an X's and O's guy. And Pete is smart enough to know, okay, let me go get people to do this. Go get you a Eric Bieniemy type. Go get you a young, you know, defensive minded
Ken Norton Jr. is a defensive coordinator for the
He's terrible,
Shows.
Bro. He's terrible.
He's terrible.
He was already at the Raiders. So again, who is he bringing from his staff?
Go pilfer the D coordinator from the Chargers.
So you really think Pete Carroll's just in the grave?
He's done.
Nah. Disrespectful.
When they die, don't put his money in the grave because it's not gonna.
I just don't know what else that man is gonna do.
Well, we're chill.
I mean, he can retire.
Just be chill. A motivational
coach.
Speaker.
An analyst. He could be an analyst.
Coaches do retire.
He would be an analyst.
Les Miles is somewhere doing nasty shit to an intern somewhere. Probably
he could replace Lee Corso. He could replace Lee Corso.
Fam, Lee Corso is irrelevant. Kind of the same way.
That whole show's kind of
Dick Vitale is irrelevant.
This conversation took a dark turn real quick.
You can't say a dark turn in a room full of minorities with the lights on. That's just mean.
Would you like me to turn the lights off and say it again then?
Yeah, it would actually probably be funnier. Actually, don't, because then you wouldn't be able to see. You know,
see, I'm just trying to behave, and you're.
I know. I just had to test the waters. When he dives head first,
don't get mad.
I know. He's like me. He's gonna throw a shot. He's gonna throw a shot. I gotta make sure when he throws the shot that I at least threw something out there just to test my reach.
Look, I'm just tired of talking about the Raiders. I mean, they really don't deserve any media airtime right now.
All right, well, we're talking about Seattle because, like, do you think it's a situation
to where it's like Pete Carroll will want to prove himself if Russ leaves?
Bro, he'll try to take the Florida job. I'd be surprised.
He will get a job. He will have a job no matter what occurs with Seattle.
I would rather take the Florida job.
I'd rather him stay in Seattle to see what the next era of Seattle football will be, because, as he said, like, they need to understand that the era of the Legion of Boom is over. Like, you have to set a precedent for what's coming and what is. You're just playing catch-up on what the new era of Seattle football is. So, at this point, sure, I think Russ does have enough in his pocket to say, I can go play someplace else and maybe pursue something different, and a change of scenery will be nice. Or he buys into what Pete is planning on doing, which, as you guys mentioned,
last dance.
No, you got to remember, you guys are astute to point out that he's a great motivator. So this is a guy who's won a ring with him. This is a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl, and albeit they lost in a heartbreaking fashion,
because he threw an interception.
Trust me, you think as a Patriot fan, I'm not going to remember Malcolm Butler.
The best running back in the league at that time.
You remember that year that they were 1-5 on attempts
get
to get
Zeke's dick, all right?
Look, they were 1-5 on attempts where they had Marshawn within the 5 yard line and getting it into the
5 yards
end zone.
No,
1-5 that season.
Listen, the play call wasn't wrong. The read was incorrect.
That should have been
because Marshawn was no. Go back and look at that exact play. Marshawn is wide open in the flat.
Yeah.
Wide open in the flat. So, right call, wrong read.
That's also a second-year quarterback,
third-year quarterback.
Seattle's problem is the guy doing it.
The guy doing it also like was practicing it the day before with Brandon Browner and fucking up every drill. And Browner was trying to drill it in his brain. And look what ended up happening. The one freaking time that it counted, He was on it, like white on rice.
I'm just saying.
Practice makes perfect. Perfect practice. There we go.
Pete Carroll ends up as the Florida Gators head coach.
Four rings.
Don't say I didn't tell you.
Listen.
That's the easiest job in the country
Seattle's problem is also their strength? And is Russell Wilson, right? His contract, if you look at with the exception of Tampa last year, if you look at, I want to say, the past like six Super Bowl winners, it's been quarterbacks that have been on rookie deals. It was before they got the major money, right?
Yep.
Once you give the quarterback that money,
Jared Goff,
your entire team suffers, right? Because now you're not able to go get those ancillary pieces to go on and help supplement the roster unless you are Thomas Brady in New England.
Did you forget Peyton Manning in Denver?
He took less money.
But that's what Tom did too.
I'm saying that's what Tom did.
Yeah.
That's his entire career.
Yeah.
Dude, he realized it quickly, and that's why you see a team like Tampa. They were able to they gave him a good amount of money, a pretty penny,
right?
He
made it up on the back end, dude. In endorsements.
He did TB12. That's the advantage
really nice
he has.
Really nice store in Boston, by the way.
Amazing store.
Just like D-Wade got wonderful. D-Wade made it back. Dirk made it back.
Look,
they have ways to get around it.
This is the smartest man who did it economically. He saw what LeBron was able to do in the NBA to a degree, even though LeBron's taking a max deal, right? He's convincing all these players to come around to the scene and take less. Yep. And that's working. Instead, Tom did it in football the way he could. Use his advantage as a leverage point. I'm willing to take less money, but I want this specific set of guys that I know we can get, and if I call them, we'll get them. Like, there's no questions asked. I make the phone call. This guy says, I want this amount. We agree at this amount. It's done.
Yeah, and that's why I would hate to see Seattle not have Pete Carroll. I would hate to Pete Carroll not to be in the league.
I'm telling you, it's all
because good or bad, at least the Seahawks take fucking chances.
It's the end,
and
of
you
the
need
road.
That in the league.
As a 49er fan, I look forward to Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll being gone.
I mean, you can't get past Arizona. So.
No, hold on. Because then
sorry
that's
ass
four,
receiver like Crabtree.
That's
or the Rams.
That's four wins that I could pencil in every year. Because we're going to beat the Rams twice, and then we beat Seattle twice. And you know, at worst,
can't beat Arizona.
Hold on, bro. We'll
watch
split
out for
next
those
year.
Pretzels.
We'll split.
Can't beat Arizona. You're not beating Dallas. So
we're not beating Dallas.
Not beating get Dallas. Not beating Dallas.
We'll see in the playoffs.
I mean, who is going to lock up the number three receiver on the Cowboys?
Kyle Shanahan. He'll keep him on the sideline. He'll just run the ball.
How you going to do that?
You guys can't stop the
you
run.
You realize Zeke is our third best receiver, right?
You cannot
you
stop
to
the
to
run.
Get them to be friends like in a second? Watch. Guess whose team is 7-4 at the table?
I mean,
you're not even a Cowboys man.
I'm just saying.
Don't,
like,
don't you dare say
levels.
Cowboys. You're a Raiders fan.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
Swear on everything I love.
I would never root for the Cowboys. What I'm saying is the Niners blew their window.
No. Yeah, we're a half game out. Okay. We're a half game out. And, okay. And we have Jacksonville this week.
Wait, we're all fans.
So that doesn't count.
We're all fans of Dallas this week, though, okay. Because we don't want to hear Mikel talk about the Chiefs beating
yes,
the Cowboys.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying realistically, long term, Kyler Murray gets healthy. You're not getting past them.
Just don't let
everybody
be
comes back for Arizona.
That's a
you
big
got Green
if,
Bay.
Listen,
Kyler's been hurt already every year.
They want a game of Colt McCoy
listen,
at quarterback.
There's still half the season to play. There's
crazy.
Half the season to play.
And we're playing
not
in
injury
January.
Yeah,
there's regular
we're
season
only
football.
In week, what, we're approaching week 10 right now.
The Rams are eventually going to figure out this Odell
are
offense.
They? Are they?
Are they?
Are they?
Andrew Stafford's going to do Stafford ass kick.
So you're,
I was waiting to say this.
So hold on. You honestly believe in Stat Padford?
No.
Okay. So what gives you the inclination that the Rams are going to figure it out?
Their defense.
Because he looks like a fat Bob
up.
Miller.
Their defense just got ran roughshod.
Doesn't
has
matter.
Been previously.
Don't say it doesn't
too.
Matter.
Here's the problem.
Because
they
that's stopped. 2 weeks in a row
the
that
Niners,
they've been ran on.
The Niners have been a problem for the Rams dating back to
the Rams haven't stopped the run since
all year.
The Super Bowl.
No, since
run.
When
since
they
have, their Super Bowl.
They haven't
the
stopped
brother.
The run all year.
The
they haven't stopped the run all year.
In 3 years.
The Michigan head coach, what's his name? He doesn't win anything.
Why aren't you answering the question? Because they're making a point.
When are they going to stop the run?
They just can't.
Okay. So what gives you the idea? What gives you the belief
who's the
that
Niners
they're going to
starting running back?
They could use Jamal.
It doesn't
Adams.
Matter. It's
hey,
my grandma.
Wait,
Stop. Wait.
The Niners.
The fact when he goes on the offensive and starts poking fun at your team is when you know the argument is lost. You
no,
are done, my friend.
Lost.
Just chill. Your tangent's over.
You haven't. You haven't. You haven't.
Your tangent's done.
When was the last time the Rams cared about stopping the run?
Touchdown and touchdowns and tangents.
It would be
every Thursday
it would,
night on,
it would be
on Good News Radio.
It's a passing league. Like, the Rams don't give a shit about stopping the run.
Who did the Rams play
they
last?
They have respect for middle linebackers.
Who did the Rams
they
play?
Don't.
Who did the Rams play before they played the 49ers?
They played the Lions, right?
And they got clapped the week before that too.
They by the Cardinals. All I'm saying is, when it comes to running the
if
ball,
you, can't win
you don't pay all these pass rushers to stop the run.
But guess what? Pass rushers become a moot point if you're running the ball.
Yeah, you only rush the pass on one down, hey, sir.
I tried
what?
To protect
one
you
down.
And tell you that your tangent
saying,
was done. His
down.
Touchdown
you're
went
you're
in.
You're
done.
My point.
I'm not disagreeing with him, but I am saying
you're
talking about that
with
shit
him.
About running all you want, but you got to throw to somebody who's probably being covered by Jalen Ramsey.
Okay,
his point is they're not going to be on the field.
Exactly.
Bro, okay.
They're not
going to
be.
The Niners are not.
The Niners had two. We had two drives of 90 plus yards.
That's great.
That took up 10 minutes each.
But how many times? Can you do it three times in one season?
Hold on. What's 2 + 10? Excuse me. 2 × 10.
20.
Okay, that's almost a whole half in two drives.
That's great. But can you do that three times in one season?
Easy.
Who does that three times?
That's our identity. We did it all the way to the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Did you win the Super Bowl?
No, we did. You know why? Because we stopped running the ball.
Right? Because you couldn't pass?
Because we stopped running the ball. Because
you couldn't run on third and ten.
Eric, when was the last time that the Raiders were in the Super Bowl?
Man, I was in the Army, bro.
My sister.
I hope your heart hurts right now because your tangent is over.
Nah, it's not a tangent. I'm just saying, like, it's great.
Bro, you've been arguing this entire point like it's the life and death sentence.
One, I hate the Niners as a Raiders fan, obviously. But I don't believe the Niners are
going. We ran y'all out the bay.
This started
out. You don't even play in the bay anymore.
Guess what? You don't even play in the state. You don't play in the state.
Guys.
So now what?
This started.
This all started because you said that you believed in the Rams.
Vegas for a billion.
Guess what?
We still play on grass.
And you're still losing. And you're still losing.
We still play on grass, though, all right?
Hey, this all started.
We still play on grass.
Guys, this all started when he said he believed in the Rams figuring it out. Let's remember that that's where this all started for a
he
second.
He has no point. Okay. He's grasping at straws.
No, here's what the Rams are going to do. They're going to do just enough to get the number one seed or the number two seed, try to have to bypass playing the Niners, somehow end up in the NFC title game, and then choke.
The Rams are not getting a number one seed. Nobody in the NFC West is getting a number one seed.
They're going to find a way.
Listen. Green Bay or Dallas is going to get the number one seed.
Unless Aaron Rodgers gets COVID again.
I don't think that's going to be a reality. I think maybe COVID contact
policy. Shit's been happening and we didn't expect it. Antonio Brown.
Aaron Jones going down? God damn it.
I'll just say this about the Rams, man.
All it takes is a couple more COVID outbreaks.
The Odell move was desperate. The Vaughn move was good, but I don't know. Maybe it's not so good after he got his ass kicked.
Why do you say it was desperation?
I mean, that's the best tight end in the league blocking. So.
Why do you think all year we've been talking about the receiver core, how good it was, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, and
that hurt.
And now all of a sudden, now we're hearing, oh, well, the template was always Odell. The goal was always Odell. Man, last time I heard that,
that's him.
Was at the John Gruden press conference. Like, you can't chase a shadow. Like,
but I don't think
Odell is trying to be Odell.
He was in a bad spot in Cleveland.
I don't think he's a shadow. I don't think Cleveland was ever a good fit for him.
Yeah,
I think
it wasn't.
I think, you know, if Odell was able to see free agency earlier, he would have come to the NFC West. He would have probably picked Seattle. He would have picked San Francisco. I wonder how long that's been down.
Just happened. Because it tweaked out like when we first started, but that was still going and StreamYard was still up.
Oh, there it is. We're live. Back on Spreaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we were experiencing some technical difficulties. Welcome back to Touchdowns and Tangents. I am your special guest, Eric Lamkins the second.
How proper of you.
Somebody didn't pay the rent?
This is Alex Himes from Courtside Radio with him. We're working on fixing the technical difficulties. Thank you, ma'am. We're back on StreamYard.
So I just want to point out something.
I got a toot out there.
Like,
so
realistically, the Rams could end up like the Clippers if they don't win a ring, bro. This is going to be this is going to be highly embarrassing, bro. If they don't get to a Super Bowl at all in the next 2 years for the Rams,
I love it.
You're going to fire McVay.
Hey, and I love it.
And Pete Carroll might be able to save it if he comes back out of retirement.
I was just shocked that Matt Stafford and his wife have been in L.A. for what, 5 months now?
Is she still eating pretzels?
She's still eating gluten?
Damn.
She was in Detroit.
Avocado chips.
Yeah.
Kale chips.
So look, I'm glad
you get a good pretzel in Detroit.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because if the Rams don't win the Super Bowl, they've hedged their bet to go all in now, right?
Fucked for the next 7 years because they have no draft picks.
They have no draft picks and they have no salary cap. So now if Russ leaves, right? And the Rams are in purgatory.
Better trade Stafford again.
It'd just be a boom for the 49ers, man. It'll be a two-team division between the Cardinals and the 49ers.
And the Lions are just out here.
So is Stafford Russ?
Hell.
I'm just saying.
Did you just say Stafford is Russ?
Is he?
No, he's Charles Barkley.
Stafford is
Derek Carr, man. He's Derek.
Derek Carr.
No, that's a nice
Derek Carr's Carr. Better okay. than Stafford.
Look he's at the, better than Derek Carr.
Look at the stats.
Is he better than he's Derek better Carr? Than
look
Carr.
At the look.
I mean,
at
Derek Carr bit. And Megatron, would you
just
say
just
that?
Just a little bit.
Look
just
at
a
the
bit.
Stats.
He's better than
look
Derek
at the stats. Look at the stats.
I'll give you that because he came up in a different era.
No, they're
pretty close. No, they came up in the same era.
They're the same time
period. They're like 2 years apart.
Did you just say Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford are 2 years apart?
Yeah.
Somebody Google.
I think Stafford's 22.
I'm pretty sure when Georgia
right?
beat the dog shit out of Hawaii.
Oh, wait, was Sam Bradford 22?
That was way. Derek Carr wasn't even in fucking college at Fresno State when Matthew Stafford was at Georgia. GFEs for everybody.
Are you happy now? You got your 1 point up?
Google it.
2014 season, Carr was selected.
And Matthew Stafford came out, what, 2008?
9. You got it.
6 years. 5 years.
I'm saying.
Kind of same era.
Yeah, it's still same era.
That's totally different. Nah, hell no. Nah. Fresno State didn't have the same head coach.
I think Carr's only thrown for over 4K twice.
Nah, bro. Georgia was fucking loaded. They had A.J. Green.
And Stafford's
no
almost
Sean
done
Moreno.
5,000 that many yeah. times.
But he also had Megatron.
Thank you.
I mean, he also
this
had
this was
a
like
Detroit
before the spread offense thing.
Offensive
boom.
Line.
Detroit, but he also had Megatron.
But Detroit also didn't have a necessarily terrible defense, and they had a pretty decent offensive line. They're just Detroit. Like,
I don't know, man. I think
some of those old Detroit teams beat the Raiders.
Both of them have been in the league long enough to know that they might not be the problem,
but
they're also not the solution.
Stafford is like, if you put him on.
You're expecting the same thing. Like, it's the same thing with
Jimmy. They're both game managers.
Okay.
Do not put Jimmy Garoppolo because
that
dude is a bridge quarterback.
But what exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Is like, that's why I respect the 49ers because they're not expecting the same results. Different results from the same person.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Versus what that's exactly what Raiders fans put them through.
With that.
Every single damn year.
With that. So what is Cam Newton in this situation? Is Cam Newton really their best hope?
For the
Panthers?
Panthers to make
a playoff run?
No.
They have a top 10 defense.
Listen, man. Can't look.
Will they
much,
do enough to gimmick their way into the playoffs?
This is a hot take. I think Cam Newton is super overrated.
Wait, lifetime or just these past 4 years?
I'm going to say, I'll go so far to say lifetime. I see. Listen,
you're going to say
this
though,
man gonna fight you.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
You started
Cam Newton,
fight with both
Cam
hosts.
Newton has only passed for 60%, maybe.
One time.
No, I want to say
twice.
It was twice.
And it wasn't even the year he won MVP.
Exactly. Cam Newton has, his claim to fame has been his athleticism. It's him making plays with his legs, him scoring and running people over.
Having no
not
receivers.
Him. Not him throwing the ball.
Yeah, Ted Ginn Jr. is his best receiver.
But he doesn't even run like that.
Ted Ginn Jr. was his best receiver.
Listen. You tell me Cam's best year passing the ball.
Honestly, I don't feel like we've ever had that.
Okay.
His rookie
year. I don't even know what that looks like.
Cam Newton.
His rookie year.
Both of y'all have played the game. Cam Newton excels throwing where? In between the numbers, primarily in between the hashes, right?
Yeah, occasionally deep downfield.
Cam struggles when he has to throw to the boundary. Yeah. He's extremely inaccurate. The same thing that I see in Cam, the same thing I see in Lamar. Lamar is a more dynamic runner. You know, they scheme a lot of. All right.
Lamar's nice, bro.
Lamar is nice. Lamar cannot throw outside the numbers. He doesn't throw outside the numbers.
He can throw from the pocket, though.
Cam's running is more gimmicky.
Russ couldn't throw outside the numbers for a while.
Russ was accurate.
He was a deep ball thrower.
Neither one of those two are accurate throwers. They're not great passers of the ball. They're great athletes playing quarterback.
I mean,
and also
Marquise Brown has like 800 yards receiving.
The other thing I'll say is,
that's neither here nor that's scheme, bro.
They haven't
that's
given him a good big receiver. They Payment's haven't given him
hurt.
A Dez Bryant. They haven't given him a Calvin Johnson. They gave him a Calvin Benjamin, and he gained a bunch of weight, and we got 1,000-yard receiver.
Queen Latifah?
But they had Greg Olsen. He had Steve Smith.
He was fire.
But they haven't given him
a big receiver to make up for those accuracy and give him a bigger catch window.
DJ Moore got there as
you
a
got
rookie.
A bunch of,
you had,
they
you
just
had
get
Steve,
the fast
Steve,
guys.
Steve Smith is going to go get the ball. If it's in his vicinity, you don't need
and
to
he's
be
he's
going
to take it to the cost.
Yeah.
But that was an ego.
So what are we saying here?
What I'm saying
he got,
is
he got forced out of Carolina.
What I'm saying
that's
is
not
though,
really fair. Steve
you're pointing
got
out you're pointing out the tragic flaw in his game, which is fine, but also it takes coaching and a development to see that and say, hey, okay, I need to get this dude a big receiver on the outside instead of just building to his strength and just get him a bunch
of
passes.
Why
are we going to get to the half?
Okay,
we're
okay,
gonna get
okay.
Inside the half.
So I'm going to take that. Okay, I'm the GM. Why get a big fast receiver on the outside and he's accurate
they tried
outside?
It.
He's inaccurate outside.
They tried it. It worked with Calvin Benjamin that one year. They tried it again with Devin Funches. Didn't work.
Funches and bunches. He's really a tight end, but you know.
So, I mean, it's not like those receivers grow on trees. Like, you saw what D. Hopkins went for, nothing. They should have got D. Hopkins.
And
that would have helped.
Let's be honest. When you look at Carolina, they were running the ball and playing great defense. They weren't even an aired-out
team.
Oh,
wait. Say that again? The year they got to the Super Bowl, they did what?
Which time?
He actually threw a lot.
Which time?
When he won the MVP and he played. When
35
they got,
touchdown passes?
When they got smacked in the Super Bowl?
Because all the receivers
were
hurt?
Because they ran the ball and played great defense?
They tried.
They ran the ball?
They tried. But, I mean, Jonathan Stewart,
so
injury prone.
So you're telling me there's multiple ways to win football games?
And they always leaned on Cam.
Let me take you back 2 years ago.
Okay.
All right. 2.5 years ago.
All right, I'm in my time machine.
Before the Super Bowl season.
Uh-huh.
Were you expecting a Super Bowl run?
For the 49ers?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Fairly.
I'm going to say, I'll be honest, no. And the reason being is because when Trent Baalke and John Harbaugh, when Trent Baalke left, and then we had to endure Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly, our roster was so devoid of talent. It was bereft of talent. There were people who were playing in the, like, XFL and AFL, like, that were on the 49ers roster, like, literally years prior. So we had to replenish the cupboards. So I do think the first year, I think we, you know, drafted Fred Warner. Who else did we draft that?
Raiders passed on him, too.
Passed on him.
Who else did we draft in that draft? Oh, George Kittle. Like, so we've been able to find gems.
Passed on George Kittle.
Passed on George Kittle.
But I mean,
we've been able to find like late round draft gems, right? That expedited our rebuild process. When, like, I didn't see Raheem Mostert, like,
Nobody saw
that one coming. If anybody, like any 49er fan that was like, oh yeah, I knew he was going to be good, like they're like, I'm a super objective 49er fan. I saw glimpses. So I'm going to tell you the thing that made me, like, give me some modicum of hope. It was when we traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, and although those 5 games didn't mean anything, I was like, yo, there's something special about this dude, right? He's not necessarily, you know, a gunslinger, but he has the it, whatever that is, and you know it when you see it. He got his teammates to believe in him and like really believe, like, hey, we can win this game.
But so going into that year, you would have said what, 9-7? 8-8?
Not 10-6.
10-6. All right. So you were put on the more on the optimistic side.
Yeah. I believe in Kyle Shanahan.
So now this year, do you feel like,
oh, we've underperformed.
Okay.
Underperform, like, grossly.
But do you feel like that's helpful for you? Or, like,
no.
To have that, be able to catch teams off guard?
No.
Slide to, like, a 6
No. No. I think the true hallmark of a championship franchise is going into the season with the expectations that we're going to have a target on our back, and we're supposed to win these games, and going out and doing exactly that. Like, shout out to Bill
Belichick.
What
was the last team that you feel like did that, though?
New England.
I guess, yeah. But they struggled, too.
They struggled last year. But year in and year out, you always believe, especially, you know, with Brady and Belichick, you always believe, like, yo, these cats got a chance. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, they have a chance. But, well, the way you painted it, like, I'm thinking of, like, oh, a juggernaut team. We're going to go in. We're going to do what we're supposed to. We're going to do, like, what the Chiefs should be. But they haven't been the past 3 years.
I mean, the Chiefs aren't really a juggernaut team. They're what
the
makes them so
one side,
yeah. What makes them so dynamic is speed. The speed on the outside with Tyreek, the the athleticism and physicality with Kelce across the middle and Patrick Mahomes' arm. Outside of that, what is there? What is there? Like, what do the Chiefs do well?
They rush the passer.
Create Frank turnovers.
Clark, Chris Jones. Okay, I get you that.
Yeah, and sometimes they create turnovers.
Yeah, they're timely.
Yeah, they get timely turnovers. Yeah,
yeah, but there hasn't really been a juggernaut. There really hasn't been a juggernaut team, yeah. Like with the exception of like New England. I guess you can go to the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, that would have been my next one.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, that's probably the closest. Yeah,
and then prior to that, then you have to go back to the '80s and Bill Walsh.
Yep.
All those Houston offenses were warm up.
Yeah, but they didn't win a lot. Yeah, they didn't win. I'm talking about winners. We want winners.
I don't even know what it's like to win anymore, man.
I mean, it's like, especially as a Clippers fan. Whew, I'm sorry for you. But, like, if the Rams don't win, like, the Chargers are just, like, in the best seat out of.
I don't know about that.
The Chargers would be okay. Like, this is the first year Brandon Staley's, like, head coaching tenure. Like, let him draft who he needs on the defensive side of the ball so they can, you know, become what he envisions. Like,
well, really, I mean, to your point, they really only have 2 years. Because then Herbert gets a new contract. Keenan Allen's already at the
No, plateau. They got three.
Two, maybe three.
This is his second year.
Depending, I mean, Herbert could hold out.
They'll pick up his fifth year.
He could hold out. Why wouldn't he? I would.
Okay, so look, when I look at the Chargers secondary, right? They got Derwin, they got Vato, they got Asante.
Have injury issues, but Asante's nice. I fuck with Asante heavy.
And then on the line you have
Bosa's
yeah, no, hurt. I was thinking about that linebacker core. Kazir White. They have
Drew Tranquil.
What's the white boy name that plays the edge? Frackle.
Called Kyle Frackle.
Yeah, I like him too.
And you got Bosa.
I think they need like D tackles. They need D tackles to like really help the line, like, you know, take a step forward. Like, give them this draft. They'll draft like a D tackle in between like the first three rounds, you know, a space eater.
That's what they really need. They need a nose.
They got Tillery, who does pretty good.
Oh, Jerry Tillery, yeah.
But he hasn't got the pass rush yet.
Yeah, he's a run stopper.
Just a run stopper.
And allegedly a dirty player, but I mean, you know.
He's a mean guy.
Did he go to Notre Dame?
Did you just look at his own Notre Dame career? And he did something when he got in the league too. But I mean, hey. But like, they have a loaded D line, linebackers, because you got Tranquil, Kenneth Murray, Kazir White. You got what's the safety's name that they drafted?
Adderley?
Yeah, this year Adderley.
Yeah.
So, like, they have pieces in place, but I'm really focusing on that offense. I mean, you get Slater, who's looking like all-pro. You got Herbert.
Slater is going to – when Trent Williams retires, he'll be the best left tackle in the league.
Pretty much.
Yep, 100%. Like,
that's what you have set up right there. Mike Williams, if he ever just stays healthy, I think he's a – you have to have him out there. But
he'll,
like,
probably bounce.
If you can get a running back, if you can get a stud running back –
I would get a bookend tackle. I would either get a right guard or bookend tackle.
Bulaga, though. He's a journeyman.
He's
right
hurt,
tackle.
Though.
Yeah, he's always hurt. He's always made out of paper mache.
At this point, Iowa tackles do not hold up well after like 5 years.
I would either get a right tackle, a right guard, or maybe a tight end.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers end up with the D-tackle out of Georgia.
Oh, yeah, he's nice.
350?
Yeah, he's nice.
The wall of a human. But I mean, big guys like that don't usually last like 7 years.
But in order for their defense to really take a step forward, you need a D tackle that could also rush. You don't need they have like Tillery is their two gapper. He's their two gapper. So you know, you already have that. You don't need to draft that again.
Yeah, because the way I look at the Chargers, they got the best setup as far as quarterback, left tackle. Quarterback, left tackle, better than the Niners, better than the Raiders, better than the Rams, because Whitworth is about to retire any day now. Stafford's no spring chicken. if the Rams don't get the Super Bowl out the way, they're going to be a forgotten about piece of history. And it's going to be embarrassing.
I'm going to love it.
Right. Shout out to St. Louis.
Some college football news. You got something you want?
Go ahead. Do your college football.
I bet. So, Malik Cunningham, some might say Lamar Jackson 2.0, because Lamar had his jersey retired recently this past week. They beat Duke tonight 62-22. He had seven total touchdowns. He had 300 passing yards, 200-plus rushing yards. Louisville kind of has, like, they're like, oh, we're just going to get Lamar Jackson-esque guys and develop them. I like seeing that for Louisville's program. Man, their head coach, I think, was originally at Appalachian State. So, there's that. But some great news. By the way, USC-UCLA plays this week.
Go Bruins.
Hell no. Fight on.
Go Bruins.
Both teams, both teams are trash, but go fight on.
Hey, we both eligible.
How much are tickets for that?
We both eligible.
$20?
Not that much. It shouldn't be that much. I think
parking
it's
probably more than the tickets.
Hey, I went to the school. I'm not just cheering. I went there. So, you know what I'm saying? I got ink. I got dry ink.
Hey. I feel it. I respect it.
Yeah. But it's okay. I just applied for my master's at SC, so it's fight on too.
There you go. Speaking of USC and disappointment, Steve Sarkisian, the Texas Longhorns head coach, lost at home to Kansas. Wow. 57-56, bro. Wow, it was so glorious. I was about to sing on Happy Day. Shout out to Lawndale High School alum Jalen Daniels, former state champion. He helped lead. He's like the face of the Kansas football program right now. They have some talent. Lance Leopold has turned. They've had them really competitive. They scored like 40-plus points against Oklahoma and Texas, and they finally got a win. They got their second win, you know, against the Texas defense that's been trash all year. Their assistant coach, I guess Gabe Lewis, I think that's his name. He had like somebody recorded him cussing everybody out on the bus after they lost last week for Texas. They've lost like five straight games. And Malik Murphy, he's like one of the best QBs in this class coming up. Sarah QB, 5-star. He was committed to Texas. I don't see how you could be a QB at Sarah High School, 5-star. I get it. USC don't recruit black quarterbacks like that. But how do you let that kid slip away? Rocket for an arm, can do everything you want, and dual threat. This isn't Jesse Scroggins we're talking about, where Jesse Scroggins was a knucklehead with a big arm, athleticism, and didn't do shit with it. Huge disappointment out of Lakewood, but I just factor in, like, Kansas is even making strides and putting the whole Les Miles fiasco behind them. Sarkisian got this fat-ass contract for pretty much just playing with, like, a 99 overall offense at Alabama. You're the head coach at Texas, and you're god-awful. You're worse than you were at Washington. At least when they were at Washington, he got them ranked. Keith Price was wheeling and dealing. You had Miles Gaskin. Like, they were beating the shit out of USC every other year. They were highly competitive. Texas is an embarrassment, bro. Like, and they're going to the SEC, about to get their shit clapped again. They already lost to an SEC team this year. They lose to Kansas. Kansas has never beaten Texas at home, ever in existence. Like, and they beat them 57-56, and this shit was wonderful to see. And I'm so happy for Jalen Daniels and Kansas, the Wildcats, the Jayhawks. Their football team's been so bad, I forget what their mascot is. I don't even associate them with Jayhawks. And Kansas ain't been that good either in basketball for a while.
Yeah, I got some cleats.
They got rid of
Kansas.
Bill Self.
Sideline swap.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so, where all the D1 athletes put all the shit they don't use on online.
Hilarious. Yeah. Also, Florida's not looking great. Pretty sure they barely beat. They beat Samford, but I think Samford dropped like 40 points on them. It was like 70 to like 42 or some shit. It was a nasty score. And they were celebrating in the locker room afterwards. Like, it's pretty much over for old boy at Florida. It's going to be over very shortly. And again, Pete Carroll, that would be the best place to go to rehabilitate that program's image. will be Florida. They have all. They're going to get all the D1, all the five stars, and all he has to do is make sure nobody gets arrested and then crazy. And he just says, "We're going to fight on. Like we're going to, you know, he would clean up the SEC because he's the only person who could stand toe to toe to Nick Saban at the college level. He could say, I have more success if you as an NFL coach, and then I can come down to college and wax you. Dabo Sweeney, I mean, like at Clemson, they're going to be down for a while. Like, you can look and tell at all the D1 talent, all the NFL talent they had, and see how now that it's all gone, like how bad Clemson really looks.
I told you that, like a month ago.
Shit, like Louisville almost beat Clemson a couple weeks ago when they played. So, yeah, there's just a lot of shit with college football. And, San Diego State has a problem with Barstool sponsoring the LA Bowl. They're considering pulling out their advertisement.
The Jimmy Kimmel Bowl?
Yeah. I think they're standing, the board might take like $40,000. Away in advertisements. Like San Diego State doesn't want to be affiliated with David Portnoy, I think that's how you say his name, from Barstool, because all the rape allegations and all that. They're not really feeling it. So
good for them.
But I mean, if you're San Diego State, you really can't afford to lose this limelight in a bowl game this series. You've already beaten a bunch of Pac-12 schools. You might as well finish the season with the best record possible. Brady Hoke ain't going nowhere. I mean, he went to Michigan. That didn't work out.
I mean, the game we're going to next week is pretty much a winner takes all the three stars in L.A.
Yeah, Boise State and San Diego State. San Diego State lost, but they're still ranked. Boise State could just steal. I mean, Utah State has their division in the Mountain West pretty much locked up. But if I'm San Diego State, this is bigger than Boise State. This is bigger than, you know, whatever Wesley Snipes said. And why am I forgetting the name of that movie? It's like one of the most iconic movies of all time because Christopher Williams is in a coma right now. Damn it. What is the name of that movie? Fucking Wesley Snipes. Am I My Brother's Keeper?
New Jack City.
There we go. Yeah, it's bigger than all that shit. Like San Diego State, they could actually get 4 and 5 star recruits. Like San Diego
five
is like,
star. No, they can get 2 or 3.
They could steal one. All you need is one, even if it's in a transfer portal. Like, think about it. The location is perfect.
Yeah, but
everything is perfect. Like, they send cats to the league more often than
USC
does.
If you're
USC
a five-star
does.
Recruit, you're getting bags, first and foremost. San Diego so State.
Be a big fish in a small pond.
San Diego State, they don't have the boosters to give you
Marshall Faulk.
The motivation. Okay, that's Marshall Faulk. That's one.
Somebody has to be big out of
San Kawhi Diego Leonard. State. Okay, two. When you're talking about competing with like a Florida, Ohio State, Maryland, I'll even throw Maryland into that mix.
They weren't competing.
Plus the whole state school element is like
Maryland got Stephon Diggs.
Those private schools, they can do a lot more with the money. They can do a lot more with your academics than the state schools.
Like that's Arizona State is?
No, California. The California state system, and UC system is the most difficult university system to get into, like, period. Alabama, they don't have those qualms.
But
Florida
athletics?
Doesn't have it. You still got to qualify.
Yeah.
It's a state school. You still have to qualify.
There's plenty of D1 cats who can qualify. Now, I'm talking
about five stars. The smart ones are going to Stanford. They're going to Michigan. They're going to Berkeley. They're going to UCLA. If they're actually intelligent, USC. And they're going to Stanford. They're going to Berkeley.
UCLA don't pull five stars like
you're
that.
You're going to USC.
USC is like not playing sports.
USC
playing
like
sports.
Just stocks up on five stars who never amount to shit in college.
Listen,
there's a reason why Vontaze went to ASU. And not anywhere else. When all he needed was a 700.
Exactly.
Like
the intelligent athletes are going to one of the schools that I aforementioned because it not only sets you up for success on the field,
more than likely you're not going to have a long NFL career. And that Stanford cachet, it opens up a ton of doors.
Yes.
That Berkeley cachet, that UCLA cachet, it opens up a ton of doors. Why the hell, if I have that as an option, or if I'm actually good and I have Alabama and Notre Dame and Ohio State as an option, why the hell would I go to San Diego State?
I mean, some people want to be a big fish in a small pond. Boise State gets 4-star recruits. And they're in fucking Idaho.
4 stars are not 5 stars.
There's plenty of 4 stars.
And there's Boise.
Most
5 stars
actually don't pan out like that.
I know this. I would rather be a 2-3 star. That way, you know what I'm saying, I actually have motivation to work out and be coached.
There's plenty of Baker Mayfield was
George Kittle, Anthony Davis were 2- and 3-star recruits coming out of high school.
And by the way, Kittle, everybody knew he was going to be like a 3rd or 4th rounder. Because he was underdeveloped as a receiver, but he was pretty good.
He was a dynamic blocker.
Exactly.
If you play tight end,
4-5, I was like, check all boxes.
If you play tight end right now, there's no other school that I'm going to other than Iowa.
Maybe Penn State.
There's
Gesicki, Freiermuth.
You got TJ. You got Florida. Noah. You got Noah, and you have George Kittle.
Yeah, but how are they all doing?
What do you mean? How are they doing? George Kittle. Huh, you said who's trash?
Denver is trash.
Noah Fant is not trash.
No, he's not, but he's wasting away his best years in Denver. Same way O.J. Howard is wasting away in Tampa Bay.
O.J. Howard, he
went to Alabama.
He wasn't a complete tight end.
No, he was not.
Kyle Pitts is not a complete tight end.
Kyle Pitts is still nice, though.
What is he doing right now?
He wins the Patriots. What has he done this season? He's been eating pretty good. He's on my fantasy team. He's been doing pretty good.
How many yards does he have?
I want to say like 400, 500.
Okay. That's eating?
For a tight end? As a rookie?
Oh, okay. We have different standards.
That's better than Evan Engram or Irv Smith or any of the other tight ends in the past few years.
Hey. If 400 yards, if that's what you, you know, expect and demand out of your first round lottery pick,
I mean,
top 10, yeah, he was top 10.
Hey man,
the offense is hurt. They got Cordell Patterson playing running back and receiver, bro.
Listen to me,
it's not that easy.
Hey, listen to me. If that's what you want as a GM, by all means.
The Falcons don't have any real offensive talent outside of him, though.
Hey,
Ridley's gone. Cordarrelle Patterson is doing.
He's hurt. I know he's on my fantasy team. I know.
All right, can we move to touchdown or turnover?
Yeah.
All right. All right, this one's easy. Touchdown's good. Turnover's bad. All right. First up, the New York Football Jets are making a move at quarterback. They are ending the white era and turning back the clock to Joe Flacco. So, touchdown or turnover?
Turnover
for the Jets, starting Joe Flacco versus
turnover.
The Bears.
Joe Flacco had one good year, rode it all the way to a Super Bowl victory over my Niners, and has been poo cheese ever since.
Turnover.
I mean. Salute to Bob Money in the chat. I just want to say this. It's a touchdown.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bye.
Why?
Here's why. The Jets ain't winning shit. They're barely better than the Lions. The Lions, I think, are still going to win 2 games this year. I don't know how.
Dumbass luck.
It's just going to be dumbass luck. But Zach Wilson... They got their franchise left tackle. They got Elijah Vera Tucker. So the left side of that line is looking okay. They have so many holes on this team. Elijah Moore is going to be a stud receiver for them.
Facts.
Got him on my fantasy team in one of my leagues, too.
But, Kenny, what does that have to do with Joe Flacco?
Because Joe Flacco is hot garbage, and he's going to lose them games, so they'll have a higher draft pick to help build and protect for the future. The Jets ain't winning shit. It has to be a touchdown.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like they're being desperate to get a win because they're 2-7.
No, you have to look like you're trying. if you're the Jets, no, with Robert Saleh.
Because Robert,
Rex Ryan's talking shit about him.
The New York media is already calling for his job.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Rex Ryan said, don't ever compare me to him. I was a defensive mastermind. And then Robert Saleh printer was like, pull up if you want smoke. I mean, if you want to say it over here, you can come say it.
Yeah, but where have they improved? Where has the improvement
been? They've gotten
worse. No.
The stench of Adam Gase.
Thus the reason why the New York media is calling for Robert Saleh's job. This move reeks of desperation. If Joe Flacco is your number three receiver and you're going to him, your season is already over. You're like, punting on the season.
Like Jeff Driscoll.
And they made that whole comment about like, oh, we don't need a veteran quarterback at the beginning of the year. And now you're turning to Joe Flacco.
Mike White talked way too much.
I mean,
shit.
I want to say there is Kentucky. I think there's a quarterback that's
I was just going to bring
New
that
York
up.
That's been training, that's available right now.
Colin Kaepernick.
There you go.
I mean, would you want to play for the Jets?
If I'm Colin Kaepernick, if I can get back into the league, yeah, I played for the 49ers.
Hey, man.
With Chip Kelly, hey, and man. Had I had even less
they had eight
at
win.
My disposal.
They had 8-win talent. When they played good, they had 8-win talent.
Who had 8-win talent?
They had like 7 or 8 win.
We had freaking Quentin Patton starting that freaking wide receiver.
Was Kyle Williams still there?
No. We had Quentin Patton, who the next year was playing,
product?
Who was playing in a freaking
Super Bowl with the Patriots?
No, he wasn't playing with the Super Bowl with the Patriots. He was playing with freaking like the XFL or one of those upstart football leagues. He never made it back to the NFL.
Probably the AAF.
Yeah, the AAF. That's what it was. That's where Quentin Patton was the next year.
All right, next one. The Houston Texans announced they are moving backup quarterback Jeff Driscoll to pass catcher and tight end. Touchdown or turnover for the Texans?
I mean, shit. Everybody said he was running like a 4-5 when he was at Florida and then went to Louisiana Tech to finish his career. And his Madden rating, speed, and agility and acceleration are like pretty good. So, shit. If you ain't got nobody else who can play tight end, you might as well throw Driscoll out there. He might as well be Taysom Hill, 2.0.
I mean, didn't you just drag the Jaguars for converting Tebow to tight end?
No, I dragged them for being stupid as fuck. I dragged them for drafting Travis Etienne and then making him
saying,
a wide receiver.
There's no tight ends out there.
When James Robinson was already there.
But see, Tebow wasn't necessarily athletic, whereas Jeff Driscoll has
speed.
He has a little bit of athleticism.
Man,
and
but
wiggle.
It reeks of desperation.
Yeah.
Who else they going to get?
They're desperate. The Houston Texans are desperate.
They're trying to fill holes at every position. Hey, bro, when they like tried to give away Vernon Hargreaves on waivers, and they just have to cut him outright.
I just feel bad. Like, hey, man, I've been working as a mechanic for 20 years, and you're going to just hire this computer engineer to be a mechanic now? Like, damn.
That happens all the time.
How the world works.
Hey, man. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
Yes, sir. That's for sure. All right. You got one?
I got one. So, quick back to college football real quick. I actually got two. The first one, Mel Tucker, the head coach at Michigan State, somehow – Michigan's ranked higher than them, even though Michigan State beat their ass on the field, and we all saw it. There's rumors that the boosters are putting together a package for him to stay at Michigan State. 10 years, $95 million, which would make him the highest African head coach in any sport or any level of football.
That's a touchdown.
Why would it not be a touchdown?
Because, I mean, USC's
open. Michigan State?
Nah, USC's bro. Open. Florida's going to be open.
Listen.
Miami's probably going to be open.
Listen, you just.
LSU's open.
We know Michigan State is not quick to move from coach to coach.
They don't produce
Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antonio had been there for. It's Mike D'Antonio, right?
Mike D'Antonio
had been there.
15 years.
Didn't put out 10? one good quarterback.
Yeah,
never. Kirk Cousins don't count.
Kirk Cousins was the highlight of their program, yeah. But he's going to do. Nick Saban didn't win at Michigan State, right? So for him to leave to go to like the likes of an LSU or go to USC, where the expectation is you're going to turn this around right now, whereas I can get 10 years, $95 million, I'm like, you're literally putting me in the echelon of Nick Saban, and I haven't won a title. All I've done was beat Michigan.
But the mediocrity of being at Michigan State.
It doesn't
He was
matter.
Only at Colorado for like 1 year.
Listen, he has job security. He has job security, and he's getting paid more.
Michigan State's still toxic environment.
I mean, Franklin's pretty much in the same situation at Penn State.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Why leave?
You don't want to leave?
Why leave?
I mean, if you can be the LSU head coach.
Who's won more than freaking Les Miles at LSU?
Well, Ed Orgeron won a ring in way less time.
Did Les Miles win a ring?
Yeah, but he choked off.
Okay, when was the last time?
He choked off the national title with Odell and Jeremy Hill and Medberger.
No, I agree with that. When was the last time Les Miles lost 7 games in a season?
When he was at Kansas and got fired.
Kansas.
And then his last year at LSU, he was kind of trash.
Oh, kind of trash. But it wasn't Ed Orgeron bad, right?
It was kind of similar.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't this bad. LSU thought that they had the cachet, the national cachet.
To keep him another year.
To just go replace him with the next hottest coach. And, you know, we'll retool and reboot and we can recruit and we'll compete with Alabama. How's that turning out?
Mel Tucker's that dude, though.
Mel Tucker. And so if you can build your own
program. He's not beating Ohio State.
Mel Tucker will beat Ohio State in the next 2 years.
Is he out recruiting Ohio State?
He will.
No, he's not, though.
Yes, he will.
He's not, though.
Yes, he will.
It's Michigan State, bro.
Exactly.
It's Michigan State.
Guess what, though? They got boosters.
Shit, Magic got all his money tied up in the Dodgers. So I don't know what you mean.
They got Draymond.
Draymond's cheap ass.
Draymond not cheap. Draymond gave the school like $5 million to build
Draymond
a sports
was
facility.
Like, hey, female athletes, shut up and stop talking about what you're going to get paid.
They got the Draymond Green like training facility. Like, what are you talking about? Draymond chipped him off.
Okay, he did chip him off. Is Tom Izzo gone?
No, he's still there.
Damn, Tom Izzo is still there? Shit. Well, anyway.
Exactly. You're proving my point. This is two times in one show.
I don't know.
This is two times in one show.
Nah, like, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. I like deferring opinions. Like, because if you're on a weak point, I'd be like, nah, that shit was trash. Why'd you come on? But nah, I respect that.
Woo.
Besides, like, it's just Michigan State. Like, they've never been a national championship contender.
Yay.
Like that.
They never had a Mel Tucker.
Bro. They've had hella NFL talent come through there.
You're talking about talent. I'm talking about coach.
Loaded teams.
I'm talking coach.
That beat Ohio State before.
Did they have a Mel Tucker?
No.
Okay, that's three times in one show.
That's not three times. That's the same point. I'm just saying, okay, you're going to bet 10 years, $95 million when I could go down to Florida and clean up.
Yep. You know why? Because you know why? Because I'm going to see all 10 of these years.
I'm
going to see 95 million.
I'm going to see at least 70 million.
There's something to somebody seeing something in you before you're hot.
Exactly.
Like, if they believed in him a year early, that's still a year early than LSU or all the other teams that you named.
Because he said it's not a stepping stone for him.
It's so a cornerstone.
But Colorado.
Colorado's definitely a stepping stone.
He could be Michigan State's Lou Holtz. He could be Michigan State's Nick Saban.
That's a bad example because Lou Holtz was a racist piece of shit. But like.
Who you want me to say? Jerry Sandusky?
That's even worse.
Exactly.
A successful black college head coach, please?
Name one.
That's fucked up.
Exactly my point.
Hold on. No. We're not going to do that. Tyrone Willingham was pretty successful. Carl Durrell was the only coach.
At UCLA?
The most
or at Notre Dame?
He had the most. No, I was talking about Tyrone Willingham.
Tyrone Willingham was at Notre Dame and freaking did not win.
Washington, he had a couple of successful years.
What did he win?
Two years. I don't fucking remember.
Okay, he did. That's four times in one year.
That's 3 years. I'll give you three. But okay, Carl Durrell had the most decisive USC victory.
UCLA victory?
Yeah, against USC in decades.
And didn't win anything.
Doesn't fucking matter. They fired him. He beat Oklahoma in the same year.
Guess what?
With Adrian Peterson, bro. Like,
guess what?
He had way better than Moore and what's his face?
Neuheisel. They never
USC
had.
USC was on probation.
They never had a top 10 recruiting class.
They had Maurice Jones-Drew and Mercedes
Lewis. You're naming one and two players. They never had a top 10 recruiting class. UCLA doesn't listen.
They naturally.
Dan Guerrero. You about to have? No, we don't have. We don't have Dan Guerrero anymore.
Yeah, all right, shout out to Martin Jarmine. Dan Guerrero.
Martin Jarmine has UCLA headed in the right direction.
Now,
we're officially a Jordan Brand school, which means we get the big dollars. And if they need me to drop off bags, guess what? I'm doing it. All right.
I mean, are you skimming some? Are you skimming the feet? Are you taking some? Are you taking some off the top, like your liaison?
Can you lease some over here?
Man, listen,
sponsorship.
Mel Tucker is in a position to do something that no black head coach has done, and that's literally build a contender year in and year out.
So, would you rather have Mel Tucker or Chip Kelly?
Mel Tucker.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So you're okay with Chip Kelly getting fired? Cool.
I said this like week three.
I've been saying,
damn, bro. Oh, I got one more. So Drake said, "Go Dogs." Touchdown or turnover?
Oh man, that's a turnover. Drake curse.
Definitely a turnover.
I hope Drake says, "I hate Kenneth Berry," and I hope he never succeeds in life. That's all I know. I'm gonna win. Drake says, "Like, she'll be any modicum of respect." Oh fuck! I'm just kill myself. It's over, bro.
Drake
said, "I'm gonna do it."
Drake had to, you know, like be like one of the biggest Robert Sala supporters, because you know that dude turned into a pumpkin like overnight, man.
Remember Max McClung? He was on his head too.
Yeah,
Drake be cloud chasing high schoolers randomly, and it's kind of weird.
Man, don't even get me started on Drake. Drake is a cloud chaser. He takes Drake has no style. He has no identity. He takes really, everybody else's.
He's an amoeba. He really cloud chased, like,
he's a chameleon.
Kanye, and then made people turn on Kanye, but. He really was.
Where's the other one at?
People need to stop saying Lane Kiffin's going to Miami, because that would be stupid.
Lame.
Why would you leave Ole Miss where you're just putting out video game numbers?
Alright, let's make this one quick. Take or tangent, you got a hot take, you got a tangent story you want to go on, whatever. Alright, first one up. I'm going to fuck up his name.
You want me to see it and say it?
Naeem Hines.
Oh, you did it.
All right. Yeah. See, fuck you, Kenny. I got one this year. All right. Naeem Hines, he fanboyed for Tavon Austin on the HBO Hard Knocks.
Bro, Tavon for a bust.
You got to take her tangent on that.
Wait, was Tavon in college? Was his, like,
yeah,
college?
Yeah, he said, I still watch his mixtape. Okay, first off, for those of y'all who don't know, Reggie Bush had one of the greatest highlight tapes of all time. Percy Harvin had better highlights than Tavon Austin. West Virginia didn't play no fucking body. Yeah, Steve Slayton too. Pat White. Shit.
Javid Best.
Even when he fucking almost cracked his skull open and had a seizure in the end zone. McFadden. Hell, Peyton Hillis had a couple runs in college, believe it or not. Felix Jones. There's so many more people that I can think of.
Tommy Frazier.
See, here's the thing. I have a cutoff for, like, once you get, like, before the 80s, bro, like, I don't know if I can
remember.
Really,
he was in
you.
The 90s.
Was it early 90s? Or was,
yeah, it was early 90s.
So, okay, fine. So, 92 is the cutoff.
Okay.
Before he was born.
Oh, okay.
I'm 29, so, like, we got to go 30-year increments, bro. We can't say, like.
I don't know. Like, you say a highlight tape. That's all on YouTube.
No, but, like, his highlight tape wasn't put together by him right then and there. It's just like Heisman.
You think Reggie Bush actually put together his own highlight tape?
I think he did. I think he paid somebody to do it.
Nah, man.
I think he had several.
If he paid somebody to do it, then he didn't do it himself.
I think he did. He's like, pick that one, and that one, and just put that shit together for me. But
he probably had some fucking Academy Award winner on the very bottom of the screen who was at USC that day put that shit together.
Yeah, a student probably helped him do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah,
I'm sure at that time they had fucking mixtape office hours, bro. Like, yeah, they probably just had interns and everyone just went in there.
Tavon Austin has one of the most well put together mixtapes, but he played in a gimmick offense, was a bust in the NFL. I don't know why the fuck they took him at 8 overall.
The Rams gave him a bag though.
Javid Best had a good NFL.
No, Javid Best wasn't a bust though. He like was running for 1,000 yards. He just had fucking
concussion
seizures
problems
and way too many concussions. Like, I was rooting for him. 4.3 speed out of Cal, was a dog, and everybody knew it. But, like, I'm kind of over. Like, if you're striving to be, like, Tavon Austin, then really, what are you like? What are you trying to be? Because it really wasn't anything special once he got to the league, and like
Percy Harvin wasn't anything special.
Percy Harvin was special, and he punched out Golden Tate. Percy Harvin literally as a freshman went like 80 yards to the house against Alabama.
That we're even talking about Percy Harvin after what a year and a half of,
and I don't even think he had a 1,000 yard receiving season.
So what was Percy Harvin's like career highlight?
When he had a kickoff return in the Super Bowl.
Okay. So that
when his whole Vikings career, when he was damn near all pro on special teams, when Brett Favre got there,
he was a first round pick that excelled on special teams.
That's disrespectful. He excelled as a receiver. They used him as everything.
He was a running back, a receiver. Everything you're telling me is on special teams.
I said he excelled at, they put him at a
third most important part of the game.
Like, he was a pro bowler. Like, he put up yards. It's not his fault that they said,
he was like Cordarrelle Patterson.
And I will remind you, a special teams coach beat you to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
That takes one off your overall score. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, but we're talking about Percy Harvin. We're not talking about John Harbaugh.
And Jacoby Jones scored a touchdown against the Niners. So, special teams, it matters. But, no, like...
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're drafting, I mean, you're the GM, right? And you know everything. But
Percy Harvin was definitely better than.
So I'm just saying, as long as I know you're drafting special teamers in the first round.
He was an offensive beast, bro. He was a playmaker on offense.
He was a play because you said
he scored on offense, defense, and special teams.
He scored on defense too.
I didn't say defense.
This man is talking out of his ass.
Offense and special teams.
Oh, okay,
which technically could be defense, but fuck it.
So he's like Joshua Cribbs,
Freudian slip. Freudian slip.
So he's like Joshua Cribbs.
That's a sick ass comparison. That's a sick ass comparison, bro. Why are you shitting on?
So you're not putting Hester in the Hall of Fame.
He's the greatest returner,
so he's getting the Hall of Fame.
Hester has to be.
He's just going to wait 10 years if you're voting.
I mean, I'm not voting him in. I'm not voting him in.
They're going to make him wait 30 years, bro.
He can get in like with the like OG crew. Like with
he can't get in with a punter?
You said what?
If you can get a lead punter in.
Yeah, the punter had to wait 50 years.
Well, that's because he was a Raider. They only made Ray Guy wait because they only make Raiders wait like that. Steelers get in every fucking year. But
listen, man,
I'm just saying Percy Harvin was a much better mixtape than Tavon Austin. But okay, it's like cool. I think just because athletes want to play in a wide open system like West Virginia had with Rich Rodriguez, so all those touches look cool. But I mean, if you're supposed to go like 70 to the house against Marshall, and that Clemson defense was ass. So of course you drop in 70.
I just think it's cool.
Geno Smith was there too. So
I just think it's cool because sometimes athletes get into that mindset of like, oh, I'm the shit, I'm this, I'm that. But it's like
they fanboy. That's cool.
Like there are people that influence you around the way, like on the come up. Like they said that they were from the same area. So it's like,
yeah, it was even better.
Like that's real. Like that's real to me. That's in all the rumors and all the bullshit that we talk about. Like. That's real football. That's real respect. Like
and Iams was a baller at North Carolina State.
So I fuck with that. I think it was cool.
He shot on the Jets defense, too. I wish I missed him on the waiver wire, but it happens.
But, I mean, Iams is kind of a gadget player, too. So
But he can run the ball a little bit. But he's definitely more of a gadget player. They don't really use him on returns as much as they should, but...
All right, next one.
Free Marlon Mack, though.
They should have drafted him in the first round, and maybe they would play. Sick.
This man, Himes left because he knew what was happening. Did Himes leave because he knew, like, oh, shit.
Wait, what is Deebo Samuel, then?
Deebo's a threat. He's taking it to – he's running people over. He's not a gadget player.
He's run after the catch, which is the same thing as Percy Harvin.
He's not a gadget. He's gadget
adjacent. I watched him at the Senior Bowl.
He's gadget adjacent.
He's gadget adjacent. Now he's stealing our verbiage. Damn it.
All right. Antonio Brown is accused of using a fake vaccine card. You got to take or a tangent on that. Start with you, Eric.
I'm going to go take, man. There's no way to... I mean, I saw the alleged text message. It didn't come from Antonio Brown. It came from somebody in his camp. Anybody could say anything.
His chef?
His chef could be saying anything. I mean, the only way for this to come out true is, you know, they have to investigate. And I mean, is there a system where they can check to see?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be digitally at some point. I don't know. I think it varies by state.
Yeah, see, and that's, this is the issue that I have with, like, this whole, like,
America
right now. It's like, yeah. This has just been like, okay, we're going to do this. Okay, yeah. Well, how are we going to verify that, like, people actually did it? Oh, I don't know. Like, we're going to use the honor system. So, I mean, I don't know.
I just hate the whole, like, hey, you guys need to do this. But not really. It's going to be up to you by state. Like, yeah.
Either everybody does it. Like, either everybody does it.
Nobody does it. Yeah, like, okay.
And see, personally, I think there should be, like, two categories. Those with antibodies and those without antibodies. Because then people who may have contracted COVID and recovered, they have the antibodies. And they might not want to get, you know what I'm saying, the vaccine. But guess what? They have the antibodies. So, you know, they're cool. And then you have people who haven't contracted COVID and people who haven't, you know what I'm saying, gotten a vaccine. Then those individuals need, you know, special attention. But, yeah, man, I'm not in charge, man. I just, you know, I don't know anything.
Kenny?
For my opinion, or do I have another one?
Whatever you want to say. Take your tangent on Antonio Brown using a fake vax card.
I mean, it's Antonio Brown. Are you really shocked? He put out a mixtape that was fucking awful in a video trying to be a fake-ass Bobby Brown.
I could see him being like...
He was acting like Bobby Brown on Bad Coke. Like, it was bad.
He was trying to be Dion, bro.
Like, he smoked... Like, he snorted some fucking...
Yayo, that Tony Montana.
No, like, he just straight up snorted...
He probably put God's phone number on his vax card.
Sick.
Man,
that man was out here snorting laundry detergent. But like, I got one. So Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma's head coach, allegedly offered an 8-year, $96 million contract for LSU, and Oklahoma ain't gonna match that shit. And he could also be taking Caleb Williams and other players with him through the transfer portal, or he could go to USC because he clearly is a quarterback whisperer. So Lincoln Riley and his prospects of leaving Oklahoma high and dry. Take a tangent.
You getting ready to go? You getting ready to move to the SEC? You can stay at Oklahoma.
They gonna be moving to the SEC. You offer me eight years, $96 million to LSU, Lincoln Riley?
No, I mean, regardless, if he stayed at Oklahoma, he would still be going to the SEC.
Yeah.
Who is really anticipating or expecting Oklahoma to win in the SEC? Not me. Texas, not me. So go on and get your long-term longevity, you know what I'm saying, and just win, you know, beat Missouri and Vanderbilt and Texas and, you know, have a 4-win season, 5-win season, and that'll be, you know, decent for Oklahoma. But going to LSU, you're going there with championship aspirations. You go to USC, that's championship aspirations. You don't win within the next 2-3 years, you're out of there. So just stay
Lincoln
Oklahoma.
Riley, sure they don't give him extra time if he develops elite quarterbacks at USC?
How long has Ed Orgeron been at LSU?
Three years.
I thought it's 3 years.
Well, he was an assistant, and then he became a coach. So like, let's so say you don't have 3-4 years.
You don't have 4 years. You don't have 3 years.
But Lincoln Riley wasn't bringing his side bitch's kids into football drills.
Don't matter.
Bro, don't matter. His side piece's kids were in the football drills fucking up practice.
Don't matter, bro.
And Orgeron was a wild motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's Lincoln Riley ain't doing that. He's a bachelor.
Have you met Ed Orgeron?
Nah, but I'm not.
Listen.
I'm not surprised.
Ed Orgeron.
A motherfucker.
Listen, I went to a Glazier camp at USC. Ed Orgeron was recruiting. Ed Orgeron never stops recruiting, first and foremost. Ed Orgeron is exactly how you see him on the sideline, bro. Exactly how he is, like, in interviews. That's who he is. So I'm not surprised that look, bro, if this is going to, you know, get me the box, cool. You can come, you know what I'm saying? Hold a tackling dummy. You could throw a ball. Hey, cool. No problem.
With a 6-win team and all your best players.
Guess what, though? I'm beating down your mom.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah,
that's a win.
Like, what if it's a recruit's mom, though?
Guess what? I'm beating down your mom.
So damn, you gotta stay and become a star or just leave.
I'll just say this, man. I think that's we spent way too much fucking time just talking about coaches in general. Like, maybe the coaching bubble is finally popping, and maybe coaches are just overrated.
Well,
good coaches are hard to find, and the good ones I think are stuck as like positional coaches in high school and on junior college, you know, campuses, not really given the opportunity. I know too many Black and Latino coaches that would excel if given the opportunity to coach, but they're never given the light of day.
Well, even just looking at the NFL, like this whole rookie class, you can pretty much throw away.
Circumstantial.
It depends on which team, because there are, I mean,
Eagles draft picks for sure.
There are always.
Which other rookie head coaches do you feel like is on the right track this year?
Brandon Staley.
Okay, that's one. But he fell into a great program.
He inherited.
Did he fall into a great? Because it's,
he had talent and he's the direction.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he fell into it's almost the same team that Anthony Lynn couldn't win with.
That hurts. Because I was rooting for Anthony.
I was too. But let's be honest.
I see him run a college program.
Who else is a rookie head coach?
I mean, it didn't work out for Lovie.
That's it.
Now, Lovie actually put Illinois on the map, and then they got. Yeah.
Did
he put Illinois on the map a little bit back on.
For like half a season?
He had the bowl eligible. He put dudes in the league.
Okay.
You got to give him that.
All right, so basically now we're going to close out the show. Last segment. This is your 1 to 2 minutes of FaceTime. Tell people whatever you didn't get to say. You can say what you got coming up. Promo yourself. You want to leave words of wisdom. Whatever. It's your time. So go ahead.
So I just want to shout out my boy Pete and Kenny for giving me an opportunity to hop on the mic with them, talk football, talk shop. It's truly a blessing. These are some really solid dudes, so thank you for that. And to all the listeners, man, just tell your friends and family that you love them, man, because tomorrow is not promised. You know, I think far too often we take our plans for granted. You know, we're going to do this weekend, we're going to do that tomorrow. And for a lot of people, like, they never get to see the light of day. So I just want to encourage everybody, man, to truly view each day as a blessing, as a gift, you know, get right with God. And I want to send a special shout out to the city of Memphis and Young Dolph's family, man. It's a very tragic situation. You know, he and his bodyguard got lit up like over 50 shots, I want to say. so, man, we got to do better, man. Like, we're the generation to really, you know, end a lot of these curses, man. Like, there's nothing glamorous about these streets. They don't give a damn about not one of us. It's a cold world, no blanket. So, man, just, you know, hold on to your friends and your family, man. Call your boys. Tell them you love them, man.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know. Like, I knew his music, but I didn't know the backstory. And, like, learning about it, it's like... We not just lose the art, but it's like you lose so much of the business behind it. And that sets people back generations. Like, between him, Nipsey, like, all these dudes were doing a lot. Juice, like, it's crazy. And, all right, so for me, I've been having a pretty crazy couple weeks. I can officially talk about it. I accepted a new job offer.
Hey!
So, I'm going to be doing some startup PR.
Hey!
So, be securing the bag a little bit.
Man.
Help me out on my projects as well.
No. Get your flowers real quick.
He in the money. You in the PR business? You getting money.
Yeah, just so I can fuck it off doing this. But it's all right.
Y'all up?
Yeah, man, it's been a crazy search. I've been searching since really I got to my last job, so damn near 4 years. And this past year and a half, I've gone through 20, 30 interviews with so many different agencies, everything from director to damn near coordinator and assistant positions. Like, just made no fucking sense. I mean, nobody knew where to place me. Like, I have a career that I've built in media relations and marketing, and then I also have the fact that I've been fucking grinding in this sports media shit for 7 years by night. Like there's few people in the world who can say, hey, they've worked on a major, on the lead advertiser. Like, I was on that FanDuel shit when FanDuel blew up. I did that. I got into the fucking Lakers press room just on my own name, my own merit. We fucking built this podcast, took it to the fucking Mobile, Alabama, and hopefully we're going to take it to the fucking combine in the draft. And, like...
We will.
And, like, people just don't know how to place that because they think, oh, you want more. They're intimidated by your ambition. They're intimidated by the fact that you can cross those boundaries that people say you never should have did. Because guess what? When I was in journalism school, when I was applying for these $18,000 jobs, $20,000 jobs that were going to make me leave my family, leave the kids that I'm now taking care of, like, for what? Just to do my fucking dream? Like, that's what it takes to do a fucking dream? I got to give up everything that's important to me just so I can get a little bit closer to being on fucking Around the Horn? Like, nah, I got to figure something else out. And that's what I've been doing, and now I'm finally, like, cracking the glass ceiling. I'm not all the way through, but I got a fucking finger through. And most of all, I'm going to bring my fucking people with me because that's what I've been doing this whole way. You know, shout out to the Maynard Institute for Journalism Education. You know, if you're not familiar with them, definitely look them up. They got fellowships. They got trainings. They got all sorts of stuff. It's a great family, great network that goes back 30 years to the first Black editor at the Oakland Tribune. Like, even though I did that for my fucking newsletter, not even related to this, just getting that energy, getting my cup filled, feeling worthy, like, that's what I brought into the interview, and I think that's what pushed me over the edge. And now that I'm here, it's fucking exhausting because it's like, my girl was telling me, like, I haven't had fucking good news in like 3 years. I didn't even know how to fucking process it. Last week I was just so fucking happy that on the weekend, when everything was done, it's like I had no more fucking endorphins left. I had no more serotonin. Like, it was a fucking lie. And it's one of the happiest moments of my life. But that's real. Like, that's what it is when you're just fucking running a marathon, just going from thing to thing, fucking trying to make this happen, taking care of fucking three teenagers, fucking working a day job. Like, it's a lot. But I'm getting a little bit closer, and it feels fucking good. I'm happy. And hopefully, Kenny will get there. Eric will get there. We're all going to get there. We're all going to sit at the fucking table together, break bread, and we're going to bring even more people behind us from the CSUNs, from UCLA, the US people who are overlooked, who slept through. And, yeah, man, that's about fucking it for me.
That was wonderful. I was going to crack a joke, but I'll just fucking save that for later.
Don't worry. You're still going to buy me food.
That's true. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm not gonna switch up. Don't worry.
I'm excited to be able to, like, go back home and visit my grandma, like, the second week of December. Like, this year I just decided to travel more. Like, this is one of those things. I haven't seen my grandma in a couple of years. She didn't get to go to my graduation because she got in a car accident and was paralyzed from the waist down. And, like, before, like, my mom and my sister were going home, I would front it so they could go down there, spend time with them, spend a week. I could only spend, like, 3-4 days. But I'm excited about that. My sister's birthday comes up December 5th. I'm either going to take her to, like, a work function where we go to Six Flags, or I'm probably just going to take her to the Rams game and, you know, just let her, she deserves to have her hair down. She's, you know, been dealing with a lot. Like, my nephew is 6 months old, pretty much, and it's something new every day, and she's learning every day as a new mother, and I'm proud of her. And for me, like, 30 is fast approaching. I remember I used to, like, be scared of it, be worried, but, like, I was listening to this, this lady, she said, you know, what would you do if you started acting like you already won, and just realized, like, you don't have to keep going at this thing in life like you're trying to win. Like, if you just approach things like you already won, because you already have won with all the shit you've already been through. And I think about all the shit I've been through, and it's like, yeah, I already won. Like, I think about my college degree, and I'm like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. That's whatever. Like, that's, I got to go do something new. I got to, you know, challenge myself to do something better, even more. And sometimes my mom was like, yo, you already won. You don't have to try this hard. You're really just burning yourself out by doing that. And again, thankful to Eve for coming in. Thankful to Himes for popping in. He didn't troll, but I know he's going to probably hit me with a sick burn off the mic. It's cool. Shout out to all the local high schools. Lawndale losing, or Hawthorne. They didn't make it past the second round.
Hamilton. Roosevelt did. Championship coming through Roosevelt.
Englewood's still in it. Lawndale's Division 4. I checked it. So they're right there with Roosevelt.
15 years ago, we built a fucking program out of a fucking mud. Literally out of like a flooded mud.
I felt like it was still built with drug money.
Somehow we took that to 30 D1 players. Somehow lives on.
Jay Mitch.
DBU.
Jay Mitch.
Shout out to Marcus Williams and go Roosevelt.
But yeah, be there tomorrow. I'm just thankful for everything. Like, I look at my nephew every day and I'm blessed. And it just gives me the strength to keep going. And also, like, I'm starting to just kind of embrace, you know, the everyday grind of everything. And being thankful for tackling a new day instead of being like, oh shit, here comes another Wednesday. I can't wait to get to Thursday. So yeah, salute to everybody. Fuck Sean Kingston. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Shout out to the Good News Sports. Shout out to S Squad Affiliates. Shout out to FPC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast app where you can find this, as well as touchdownsandtangents.com. Reach out to us, TDs_tangents, Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for listening. Shout out to Himes and Eric. Thanks for popping in. Be good, y'all.
And there's a lunar eclipse tonight. So
peace. Peace.